This is Bad Attitudes.
Hello, friends and strangers. Welcome to another episode of Bad Attitudes, an uninspiring podcast about disability. I'm your host, Laura. Is this a good omen? It feels like a good omen. Today's episode could be sponsored by you. If you would like to sponsor an episode, visit ko-fi.com/badattitudespod and make a donation. Every donation gets a shout out in a future episode, and your donations help keep the pod running. If you like this episode, share it and the podcast with your friends. Word of mouth is absolutely the best way to grow this podcast and our community. And please make sure you are rating and reviewing the podcast on your preferred platform. It really helps me out. For questions, comments, or ideas, email badattitudespod@gmail.com or reach out through social media. Follow at Bad Attitudes Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and Threads when I remember to post there. As always, I want to remind you that disability is not a monolith. My experience as a disabled person is going to be different from the experiences of other disabled people. I am one voice for the disabled community, but I am not the only voice. If you haven't watched Good Omens Season 2 yet, I can't particularly blame you. If you're anything like me, your to-watch list is a mile long, and you may never catch up on all the content you want to consume. That being said, if you want to avoid any potential spoilers, it might be a good idea to skip this episode until after you've watched. Good Omens is based on the novel by Neil Gaiman and the late Terry Pratchett, and follows earthbound demon Crowley and angel Aziraphale. In Season 1, we follow the duo as they attempt to circumvent Armageddon, as they have both become rather attached to earthly existence. At the beginning of Season 2, we find Crowley and Aziraphale still enjoying earthly existence, but both are cut off from their former dominions. Shit gets interesting when the Archangel Gabriel shows up on Aziraphale's doorstep with no memory of who he is or why he's there. Plot is not pertinent to this episode. What is pertinent is the introduction of a new angel, Seraquel, played by Liz Carr. Why is this important? Because Carr is disabled and requires the use of a power wheelchair, which means so does Seraquel. Oh yes, an angel of heaven is disabled. The best part? Nobody mentions it. In all 6 episodes of Season 2, no one talks about Seraquel's wheelchair, disability, or accessibility needs. Not even the humans. It is simply accepted that this celestial being uses a wheelchair. The only time we see even an acknowledgement that her disability exists is when Aziraphale performs a minor miracle to create a ramp inside his bookshop. They don't discuss it ad nauseum. No one feels the need to explain the how or why of Seraquel's disability. No one makes a big deal about making the bookshop accessible. Although it'd be nice if the bookshop was accessible anyway, but I digress. Her disability is just an accepted part of Seraquel's existence, like her hair color or her dry personality. And because Seraquel's disability has nothing to do with the story, this is exactly as it should be. Have you ever noticed how, if a story contains a disabled character, that disability suddenly becomes the central focus? Like, we don't need a blow-by-blow medical history of a character who happens to use a wheelchair. Especially if it isn't the central character and their disability story isn't central to the plot. I blame non-disabled people's insatiable need to know the medical history of any disabled person they encounter. Take a hint. You don't have to know why a disabled person is disabled. You don't deserve to know. You aren't entitled to know. A person can exist without our knowing their entire history. In the same way, a disabled character can exist in a universe without our being given the history of their disability. Most people I've seen have been really stoked to see a disabled character included in the Good Omens universe. Even more so because the character is portrayed by a disabled actor. But some have been a little iffy on what it means. I posted on social media a promotional image of Liz Carr as Sarah Quell, along with a caption that read, in part, "Disabilities in Heaven, confirmed." Some people I found weren't especially thrilled with the concept because they said they would be disappointed to find they arrived in heaven and still needed a wheelchair or were still sick. While I could certainly understand that feeling, that wasn't the story being told here. In the first place, Sarah Quell is a being of heaven, not a human mortal who has died and ascended to heaven. There is no indication that humans who ascend will remain disabled in this version of heaven, but also no indication that they won't. I think what's more important here is that Sarah Quell's disability indicates that disability is a heaven-sanctioned way to exist. Considering how most major world religions have historically treated the disabled, this is kind of a big deal. For most of history, various disabilities were viewed by religious communities as punishments for sin or demonic possession. Now, in stark contrast, we are seeing a heavenly being with a disability, a being created directly by God. In case you haven't picked up on it, the heaven-hell dynamic in Good Omens is based in Judeo-Christian tradition. Interestingly, we haven't seen any of hell's demons with a disability. Now, I don't know if this is purposeful or just the way things have worked out in terms of casting and story, but regardless, it sends a bit of an interesting message. Disability in heaven, but not in hell. Maybe disability isn't demonic or a punishment or a form of torture. Certainly something to consider. The important thing to think about here isn't whether a human who is disabled on earth will be disabled in heaven. The important thing is that if a disabled human is disabled in heaven, then it should be perfectly acceptable. We've all probably heard dozens of times in our lives how our bodies will be whole when we get to heaven. The point is to emphasize the glory of heaven, but often what it actually emphasizes is that disabled people are not considered whole people. We are found to be lacking because of the state of our bodies. Now, I'm all in favor of eliminating pain and sickness and injury in heaven. Does that mean all disability is eradicated? From the available evidence, Sarah Quell doesn't experience any extreme pain or illness. She simply uses a power chair to move her body through space. If the pain and injuries and other side effects of my osteogenesis imperfecta were removed, would it be so bad to use a wheelchair in heaven? Assuming heaven is as accessible as one would expect heaven to be, probably not. The Good Omens version of heaven is pretty empty, but the wheelchairs float, which I think would make surroundings much more accessible than our mundane gravitationally challenged versions. Now that I think of it, they only show elevators into heaven. Nary a stairway to be seen. Makes that song seem kind of irrelevant. I think the most common expectation of heaven is that it's a kind of utopia. And to a lot of people, utopia does not include disability. Oh, hey there, eugenics! But what if utopia does include disability, and what it doesn't include is inaccessibility? Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next one.